Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, August 8th. It is 10 a.m. in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I am Jeff Dunphy, and this is Retooling for Your Coming of Age. We are going to review the Law of Cycles today, and we're going to review it in light of war, in light of geopolitical, in light of financial, and in light of the earth. So, as we have spoken about for many, many times, we're now going to do a bit of an exposé on how these cycles unfold. There's an interesting aspect of retrospective observation, and it goes like this. When everybody suggests that there will be a war, those powers that be might suggest right away that they will deny it. That's the first step. Then they will criticize those who bring them to task. Oh, don't be ridiculous. You're just a conspiracy theorist. And then after, in fact, a war starts, or a financial crisis starts and the ball starts rolling, or something geopolitical happens where economic sanctions get thrown around, or when a whole bunch of earthquakes happen and volcanoes happen and islands and the like start falling into the sea, or glaciers start to melt into the ocean, they look back and declare it as self-evident. Well, we have a whole bunch of cycles coming to what looks like potential fruition here. Now let's chat a little about cycles, right? I trust you're getting a wee bit of a flavor of how these cycles unfold. Now, as a valid cycle comes into play, it seems people fall into line and play their parts. The so-called great men of history who conquered regions and nations, were they simply pawns falling into a role pushed and prodded by cyclic forces far greater than even they could imagine? So we have the concept of the perfect storm, perhaps. And let's chat a little about this. So scientists tell us when various cycles pull in opposing directions, the wave and the trough of a cycle, plus the wave and a trough of a cycle that's opposing each other, actually neutralizes things. And this, in fact, is a law of sound. It's a law of nature. So when you superimpose one wavelength over another and they are completely opposing links, completely opposing cycles or wavelength, they cancel each other out. But when the cycles push in the same direction, the effects are amplified. A storm surge is a perfect example. So as they blow across the ocean's surface, the winds that create these waves, and they accelerate during a storm, causing the cycle of ocean waves to have far greater wave heights. And this happened in Hurricane Sandy that hit the east coast of the U.S. last summer. So the waves combine with the higher tide waters of the tidal cycle, and a storm surge blows up, okay? And so consequently, we see this. And this was one of those times when Hurricane Sandy came along, right? So another example, not of Mother Nature so much, but by the geopolitical financial aspect, is when the Great Recession happened. And there's a highly definitive, highly reliable, highly retrospectively definable 25-year recession and depression. Now, the other thing that presents itself in the astrological aspect is we have a cycle of when Pluto moves from Sagittarius into Capricorn. Now, let's chat a little about finance. Let's also chat a little about the potential beginning of the next world war. Now, a little while ago, we had a blow up in the financial market. And also a little while ago, we had a review of a cycle. And let me chat a little about the cycle. And there was a cycle from 1995 to 2007. And this cycle talked about happiness and a mania and an optimism. There was expansiveness. There was abundance. The symbolism brought about endowment of life with meaning, community, values, goals. Economic confidence and tendency to take risks was high. The economy was not hindered or manipulated or festered by the greed of the regulatory environment. And we had a pretty optimistic time. So to put it mildly, at the end of that cycle, 07, a lot of people would have done and benefited greatly had they known about the huge switch that was coming in 08. And just as predicted, from 08 from 2008 to 2024, the basic sentiment changes from happiness and hope and optimism to cautious, fearful, defensive, and pessimistic. The basic predisposition and tendency goes from expansiveness to contraction and scarcity. The symbolic nature of this time goes to discipline, perseverance, steadiness, concentration. The economic basis falls into restrictive nationalization, socialization. The confidence in the economy is low. The role of the state becomes dominant, decisive, and planned. Now, this is where we are. This is an economic cycle that talks about the moving of Pluto from Sagittarius in to Capricorn. Now, since 08, since the crash, since 09 started, we've got to the point where they're printing money, and the printing of money goes. It diminishes the value of the dollar. It creates an environment that devalues the currency, increases the price of gold, increases our fretfulness and our worriedness, okay? This is the movement of Pluto from Sagittarius, 95 to 07, to Capricorn, 08 to 24. Now, how is it that we would pay attention to the astrological influences? Well, I, for one, having known nothing about astrology, certainly esoteric astrology many years ago, decided that to criticize it and to poo-poo it would be a little ironic since I didn't know anything about it. And then I made reference to a wise old man who's since gone, but certainly his influence is still around, named Sir Isaac Newton, who said, "I knew nothing of astrology until I studied it, and now I know that it has great and definitive validity." So we have a forecast for the next 14, 15 years from 08 to 24, where things are really ugly. And so now let's chat a little about the perfect storm, okay? And a cycle where troughs have quite diligently coincided with great precision from the starts of World War I, World War II, the war in Vietnam, and the massive political changes that transformed Russia and China in 89. The next trough in that cycle is due in 2014. Oh my, what an interesting observation. Now, there are various other cycles that point to these things, but let's just maintain that, right? The influence of these cycles is being well felt. And over the last couple of decades, the talk of war has primarily been of little wars. But recently, all of a sudden, we've seen a bunch of headlines. Let's chat a little bit about the headlines. Who authorized preparations for war with China? Okay. A little while ago, the Americans, in seeing that the Chinese were more than happy and prepared to lose a whole bunch of people in a war, and more than happy and prepared to start to show off their military muscles, there created some tension between the Americans and the Chinese. The Americans and the Russians right now are starting to play financial partnership roles. And we start to see the Chinese and the Japanese. We start to see the South Koreans and the North Koreans playing. We start to see a variety of things which give everybody serious pause. Now, the Russians and the Iranians have just cut a deal for oil that excludes the US dollar, which is the reserve world currency. And there's a whole bunch of things that talk about what is going to happen in war. Last night on public television, Barack Obama announced that the Americans would strike against ISIS. Now, the couching of this is on the front, not irresponsible. There's people dying and they're going to take measures to save those people and save the group ISIS from destroying them. However, when we start to see that, when we start to see U.S. intervention in places that you don't want to see, and as our friend James Rickards talks about, the set is cast. There is a tinderbox here, and all we need to do for things to happen is for somebody to toss a match in. Is this the match? I don't know. We know that the financial market, we know that the Germans, the Deutsche Bank, the German financial market, the derivative exposure of the Deutsche Bank is about 100 times bigger than the deposits it has in its bank. And it's about 5 times larger than the entire GDP of Europe. When the economists start to look backwards in time, they're going to say that the risk exposure of these banks is mind-bogglingly levered. We chatted a little about how exposed these financial institutions are. We chatted about how the various nations in the world are engaging in fiscal activities that are desperately inappropriate because there is no economic growth. There is no job growth. There is now just financial manipulation of the marketplace in such a fashion where they are self-serving. They play the marketplace where it is self-serving. So we have a war cycle, which I will further elaborate on. We have geopolitical cycles where we've got the Russians and the Chinese and the Americans and the BRICS dancing and playing in a fashion that is self-serving because they assume all the other parties are only in it for their own best interests. We've lost the thread of as go we, so go I. And we have earth changes. I'm not sure if you have seen the earth changes, but there is snow in Russia in the summer. There are hailstorms all over the world that are making everybody scratch their head and said, I have not seen this in my lifetime. There has been, by the geoscientists, by the meteorologists, an observation that the electromagnetic field over the planet is being compromised and it's accelerating in its movement away from true north. And we're also seeing the sun, that great ball in the sky that everybody so much brilliantly takes for granted and hasn't the faintest capacity to appreciate its honorable place in our evolution. It has been completely spotless of late. Some interesting food for thought there. So now, we have a full-blown war that is in the throes of erupting in the Ukraine. We've got an earth that's got earthquakes, volcanoes, snow in the summer, hailstorms, tornadoes falling in places that haven't seen tornadoes ever. We have hurricanes brewing. We've got a whole bunch of stuff happening all at the same time. And last night we heard that the U.S. is going to be bombing in Iraq. So, Gaza, Iraq, the Ukraine, the Iranians and the Russians have just signed a deal for oil, as I mentioned. So these wars are joining the continuing wars that are happening in Central and North Africa. And the various posturing and saber rattling of the Chinese, the Japanese, the Vietnamese, and especially US and Russia continue to build. So there was a cycle called the Wheeler cycle, and it was discovered in the 30s, and it was further elaborated on by a guy named Martin Armstrong. Now, in June of 1914, an event happened that was the straw that broke the camel's back, which James Rickards makes reference to as the stage is set for something to happen. Now, the financial stage, which we have talked about at great length, is set. We have a whole bunch of economies that are weak. We have a whole bunch of financial monetary policies that are maniacally imprudent and have historically, every single time they've been deployed or employed, they have proven to be disastrous to an economy. The straw that broke the camel's back in June, the end of June in 1914, was when the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated. And what that instigated, what that inspired, what that sparked was the war. And that war started a month later-ish. Literally. War was declared on July 28th, and Ferdinand was assassinated on June 28th. Okay, so that's one. There it is. One month later, after somebody tossed a match in this incredibly robust tinderbox. Okay, so now let's participate in the next event that happens to have a cycle. Now the cycle is based on data from all cultures from 600 BCs to the present. Get a load of that. And it says that there is a major war or major political event every 25.05 years, which is every 9,149 days. There's a gig. There's a number. So now the next act from the 14s, we're moving forward. Oh, we'll move forward 25.05 years. And it is on the 1st of September. Germany invades Poland. That cycle, 25.05, ended the 13th of August. So that was within a couple weeks. That was the declaration of World War II. That was the beginning of World War II, when Germany invaded Poland. Now, let's go forward 25 years later. On the 2nd of August, 1964, we have the first alleged Gulf of Tonkin attack. That started the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War started on the 30th of August. The first alleged Gulf of Tonkin attack started on the 2nd of August, about a month later. The 4th of August, the U.S. bombs North Vietnam. Okay, so there's that. Now, 25.05 years later, the fall of the Berlin Wall came in 1989, on the 9th of November. Communism started to fall apart in September of that year. So guess what 25.05 years later is? The 5th of October. We approach the center of the cycle on the 5th of October. And for those with eyes to see and ears to hear, we wander into this time and say, my God, the various people around who are writing the blogs, who are paying attention to the financial predisposition of things, who are watching geopolitical cycles going, who are watching Mother Nature go. The worst part of this cycle is that the major wars begin around the cycle date, but the fighting and the nastiness and the atrocity of whatever the cycle brings generally builds to its greatest intensity 4 to 6 years after the start date. You think about the First World War, started in 14, the fighting was the worst in 18. Think about the Second World War, started in 39, the fighting was the worst in 43. Perhaps now you can see why we've been focused on why the fact that people with eyes to see who have chosen to retool need to resist war. If this cycle is allowed to express itself without mass resistance from humanity, the default is horrendous. The people who are running the country, the people who are running the military-industrial complex, and the people who are running the money are wandering us down the pathway to war. They are devaluing our currencies. They are creating hatred. They are giving us someone to hate. And there are a whole bunch of uprisings that has changed the very fabric of our reality. There's lots of internal political unrest and revolution. We have seen this and continue to see it play out in Tunisia and Egypt and Thailand and Myanmar. And one can see it in the internal politics of nations, where the various dominant political parties are beginning to face formidable upstarts, and where worldwide we see more than 550 separatist groups seeking some sort of reform from what they consider to be tyranny. So, this law of cycles, this law of awfulness that confronts us right now, the various and the egregious saber rattling gives me great pause. The financial market, as I've said, has collapsed. The powers that be are just precluding everybody from really turning around and running away from it. This is why we believe and propagate and are always of the opinion that owning gold and silver, owning the physical commodity, will serve you well during this time. There will be a point in time where the economy and the powers that be rule for the people, not lord it over the people. We are now getting to the point where everybody in the financial market slapping hands with big-ass Nerf bats are declaring it as self-evident that the market has been manipulated. The price of gold has been manipulated down. The price of silver has been manipulated down because it is a screamingly obvious barometer in the collapse of a financial system. It always has been. It has been for a long, long time, and it continues to be. It's time to wake up, smell the coffee. It is time to recognize that we are at the end of many cycles. It is time to understand that things are changing. It is also incredibly important to realize that in this world that we live in the realm of our embrace right now, that as bad as things seem, it will lead us into a new era, a new mindset where we will embrace the whole context of as go we, so go I. Major changes are happening. War is brewing. I don't know where this is going to live, but it's the 8th of August. It's interesting that it is around this time historically that wars have started. End of June, war was declared at the end of July. That the end of July was already is just 9 days ago. That was the First World War. Second World War, the cycle ended in the middle of August. War was declared at the beginning of September. Vietnam, cycle ended at the end of August. The event started on the 2nd of August. This next cycle ends on the 5th of October, which is a couple of months away. Perhaps it's done in a fashion that lends itself to a little mindful preparation. Should we? Yep. Can we? Yep. Will we? It's up to you. While we can turn the lights on, or while you can lead the horse to water, can we trust that? Can we trust that you take the appropriate precautions to save yourselves and your families and your society? The society will shift and change, just as we covered last week. This is the end of an era. This is the end of an era and a time that we need to pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to the very fabric of evolution. These are evolutionary forces. You can't stop the waves. You have to learn to either flow with them and surf on them. You have to learn to dive under them and hunker down while the calamity presents itself, rise above them later. Or you can stand up to them and fight them and have them knock you over. It is akin to standing in a stormy sea. The waves of evolution are definitive. You can't stop them. Understanding them and playing with them, participating with them in a fashion where you are awake to them, you see them and understand them, contributes to what's happening. We see right now the French are saying, we're in. You want to go and attack Iraq? You want to go bomb Iraq? We're ready to do our part in Iraq. We have the Americans banning all flights over Iraqi airspace. We have aircrafts being bombed and knocked out of the sky over that part of the world. We have the Ukrainians committing economic suicide by playing with the Russian gas and saying, we'll manage to do it with ourselves. There is frightening things happening. Now, on the other side of that scale is something brilliant and wonderful and full of light and full of love and full of love of life. Take heed, please. Recognize that our time here and the time in this cycle is about to change, and it will change quite dramatically. We need to spread the word, if you might. We need to turn the lights on, if you might. We need to cooperate in the evolution of the planet, the evolution of mankind, and your own evolution. We need to retool ourselves because there is a coming of age. Just as the earth changes, the financial markets change, the geopolitical cycles change, the war, which is a racket, and we've spoken of that at length, changes. We too must change. It's a given. You get to surf the wave, be prepared for it. You get to dive under it and wait for it to pass, or you get to be knocked over by it. Prepare. We may, on this 8th of August, the 8th of the 8th, 2014, be in a place that we've seen the match thrown into the tinderbox of the calamity that the world is now in. Take heed, please, and thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. This is Jeff Dunphy from Retooling for Our Coming of Age. I will chat with you again next week. Please take heed.